SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is on the right side. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty more ahead around the association in college hoops on this Wednesday night. Heck, we'll even head back out to San Diego for another stop on the PGA Tour this week as well with the Genesis Invitational. But DRS, in this second hour, yeah, it might be the football offseason. Everybody in the National Football League now in the offseason as well. But with the Saints hiring Kellen Moore yesterday, the head coaching carousel around the National Football League has officially stopped spinning. So in this second hour, a focus on those seven organizations that had to hire a new head coach this offseason and what the future holds for each and every team. A couple of big questions with the offseason outlook ahead for all of those spots, DRS, around the NFL.
And right about it. And also, it's fun to start the offseason because there's a lot of things to look forward to. And if you're a team that didn't win the Super Bowl, like the Eagles did, you can improve your team. You can make changes like they did with the coaching staff. But also understand this. Being in New Orleans, been down there for a few football games, it's a wonderful city overall. So the high of New Orleans. And 2 weeks, you got to go to Indianapolis. I mean, is anybody showing up in Indianapolis? I mean, you show up in Indianapolis like, man, what is there to do in this place? It's cold weather. I mean, how do we, like, we can't do that in the NFL. Just be, keep the combine in New Orleans. Keep the vibes high. What a great city. Just a shame we have to go to Indianapolis and sort of have that, you know, no fun.
When did you know that you were going to start off this second hour with a soliloquy about how much you dislike Indianapolis? When did you know that?
The minute that you introduced, we were going to talk about this segment being the off season. So the off season for me goes combine, you know, free agency and draft. Right. So like Everybody's excited, but nobody's excited that Indianapolis is where you have to actually go to. No, that's all.
What was your favorite part about New Orleans while you were there covering the Super Bowl?
Probably the weather, like 75, 80 degrees.
That's not what you told me.
I'm not going to let you
You told me it was your ability to walk everywhere and how congruent the city layout is, which is the beautiful thing about Indianapolis and why
there's
it is one of, if not the greatest sports hosting cities in this country.
Everything's a highway in Indy. Like,
no, not true. Not true. Not downtown Indianapolis where all the action is. And then I thought you were going to say food. And there's really not much you can beat in Indy. Ever heard of St. Elmo's, pal? You would love that place. Donnie Wrightside breaking fast at St. Elmo's?
A spicy shrimp cocktail, actually. Like, let me tell you, like, I'm glad we're talking food for a second here. Because, by the way, like, me being a foodie, which I eat lunch now, which is a shame because dinner used to be my favorite meal and eat as much as you want. The going to a place, whether it's a high-end steakhouse or just a seafood place, if they have elite shrimp cocktail, that's a place you need to sign up for. Like, you could tell, like, sometimes there's good shrimp cocktails. There's, that was okay. And sometimes you get that shrimp cocktail that was absolutely elite. So I do give a thumbs up there, that St. Elmo's place, because I do, people struggle with the cocktail sauce because that thing will clean out your sinuses real quick. I would like that. I actually would like that. I like that type of stuff.
Good. And I'm glad that you said that. All right. Yeah. Offseason outlook for the seven head coaching vacancies that we had this year in the NFL that have all now been filled. We will ask at least one, if not multiple, big picture questions for the rest of this offseason. The outlook for each franchise entering 2025 and perhaps beyond. We start with the first head coaching job that was filled, a reunion. Mike Vrabel makes his way back to Foxborough, where he won Lombardi trophies as a player and got some of his coaching starts under Bill Belichick. Last year, with Gerard Mayo, who was kind of the scapegoat, if you will, after only one season and a 4-13 record, that was the mark for the Patriots. 140-1 to win Super Bowl 60. So not overly optimistic they are going to have immediate success, but they have the fourth overall pick. this upcoming April, 9 total picks in the NFL, and all of these salary cap numbers provided to us by our producer extraordinaire Joe Friso are from Over the Cap. 120 mil for the Pats, DRS. That is the most around the National Football League this offseason. So with all of that money and a promising young quarterback in Drake May, question number one for Mike Vrabel and New England, where should the money be focused in free agency?
All on offense. T. Higgins, by the way, T. Higgins should be a New England Patriot like tomorrow, if that could be a possibility, which we know it isn't in free agency. If you have a young quarterback, it's proven here. You want him to last, which means you want him to get through his progressions and have guys that can make plays for him to help him out. Nothing beats a 7-yard slant that turns into a 33-yard play. They don't have that on the Patriots. So you have the top four pick. Understand how I would spend it. You don't want to blow through the 120 because it's not a great free agent class, and that's not the way you get to victory. And from a head coaching position, you want to set that foundation. But the foundation has to begin with Drake May. You sign T. Higgins, and maybe with the fourth pick there, you say, you know what, is Travis Hunter around? If he's not, you trade back, get multiple draft picks. You add at least two more quality wide receivers that are young in the draft. The veteran and T. Higgins, two young playmakers, and you say, you know what, kid? You have enough there in the tank. You'll get the defense straight. You're going to sign those defensive tackles and defensive ends maybe on the cheap because you have to understand this. You have a lot of money to spend, but you are going nowhere next year. You know who spent a lot of money last year, then got nothing back on it? The Tennessee Titans. They said, you know what? Let's bring in quality football players with a bad quarterback. We're not ready to win. Rebuild this thing the right way. But you know what doing it the right way is? Take care of your quarterback so he can progress. That's my only thing I need to see from the New England Patriots this year, Ben.
If T. Higgins wants money, and since he is unable to spend it or perhaps unwilling, the Patriots can and should. Fill out the roster around your second-year quarterback. Donnie, it's one of the reasons entering this year we said, precarious situation for Drake May, despite being the third overall pick. They should probably trot out Jacoby Brissett. And we were kind of right. Drake May came in a little bit later and had a couple of flashes. We'll talk about the QB in Foxborough in just a moment. But the defense was fine. Vrabel is a defensive mind. They'll make sure they shore up that side of the football. Donnie, not just wide receiver and target help, but of course, offensive line helped this offseason as well. Whether that's early in the draft, whether it's a guy like Will Campbell out of LSU, whoever it may be, that should be a priority for New England. Wide receivers, offensive line, that's it. First and foremost in the draft with your capital and, of course, with the most cap space around the National Football League this offseason. Yep. Mike Vrabel in his coaching career, 6 years in Nashville, 54-45 overall, a winning record. His first 4 years above 500, his final two under, but never fewer than six wins. The Patriots have won exactly four games each of the past 2 years. But, Donnie, they've got a Pro Bowler at quarterback after a Pro Bowl rookie campaign in Drake May. There should be some hope entering his sophomore season. But here is the question from Friso. Is Drake May becoming slightly overrated?
I don't know if he's going to be slightly overrated because the expectations for me next year only are, can the kid actually just be a competent quarterback in the pocket? I don't expect anything out of the Patriots next year. They're not as good as the Miami Dolphins. They're not as good as the Buffalo Bills. We'll see if they can tangle with the Jets and what decisions they make. But from a talent perspective, it's not even close. They are the least talented team in that division, which, as we're talking about, must change here. But I think Vrabel sets the foundation and has that longer leash than obviously Gerard Mayo had for 1 year. Hey, this team really stinks. Try to go out there and make a playoff run with those guys. That didn't happen. But Drake May, for me, it's still a look season. I just need him to be there all 17 games, play good football, and continue to build that roster by adding more talent here. And as we said, Ben, it has to forget the defense. I don't care about the defense. Get that offensive right with some playmakers and help your young quarterback. It'll pay off in spades over the next couple of years.
Played in 13 games this year, did Drake May. Really the starter for 11 of them in full. There was a lot to like. There's a lot that still needs to be cleaned up with the rookie signal caller now entering year number two. Who's the OC in New England? Maybe the most valuable offseason acquisition. That's Josh McDaniels. Not a great head coach. Really good offensive mind with the Patriots. We head to the Windy City next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this second hour, and even a start hour number three, we go through all of the seven head coaching vacancies this NFL offseason, all now filled with a new head man to lead the future of a franchise and look at the offseason outlook for every organization. We started in Foxborough in New England, now time to Chicago. The Bears hiring Ben Johnson. DRS, both you and myself called it the best or at least most attractive coaching hire in this cycle. Last year, the Bears were not expected to be a bad team, despite having a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. So much talent on the roster, a preseason win total of 8.5, and the over had the substantial juice. So a 5-12 campaign was an unmitigated disaster that led to the dismissal of Matt Eberflus midway through the season, but ended on a high note with a rivalry victory in Lambeau against the Green Bay Packers. 40-1 price for the Bears to win Super Bowl 60. I would say rather optimistic. They draft 10th in the opening round, hoping to bolster the organization around now second-year quarterback and Caleb Williams. 8 total picks in the NFL draft. And once again for the Bears, for the third consecutive offseason, a good amount of cap space, $63 million. We'll talk about Ben Johnson in just a moment. But again, Donnie, the offseason expectation, inserting Caleb Williams as a rookie signal caller a year ago was a winning season and maybe playoff contention. Now you add Ben Johnson and keep most of the roster in place. You expect Caleb Williams to improve season over season, especially under the bright offensive mind of Ben Johnson. Big question number one for the Bears. What are realistic expectations for next season?
Oh, it's playoffs. It really is. Like, even coming into this season, we were spoiled, as I like to say, by, you know, CJ down there in Houston having a very, very good rookie year. And you expected that to just say, you know what? Rookie quarterbacks with high, let's just say, accolades coming out of college, they should be able to be successful right away. And it wasn't Caleb Williams' fault. Just didn't have the right offensive coordinator slash offensive system to be in. Because I don't think anybody's like, hey, man, Caleb's going to get drafted to the Bears. He's probably going to be a bust at that point. And he wasn't a bust last year. They had a lot of weapons. They had a decent offensive structure, but just not the right plays in the play call and the confidence to operate out of the pocket. So now when you get Ben Johnson to come over, you already have a quarterback with a lot of snaps under his belt. He's been in the NFL, and now you have an entire offseason. Say, hey, look, we're not going to surprise you of being your first start, second start, third start. You've been around the block already. I'm going to put you in the right position every time. And also, Ben, a lot of similarities to Detroit. Like, Detroit has a great offensive line. Chicago's got a solid offensive line. Detroit's got a great tight end. They have a decent tight end in Cole Kmet. You have great wide receivers that were able to perform in Detroit. You got a really solid set of wide receivers here in Chicago. Do you have the same running game that you have, you know, with Sonic and Knuckles? No, you don't, but Swift is a pretty good start at that point. So it's not as if he's coming into a situation like, boy, this is the bottom of the barrel. We got to build this up. I expect Ben Johnson and that offense to hit the ground running from day number one, which means a successful season to me is making the playoffs. A non-successful season is not making the playoffs. It's that simple now.
So a couple of free agency questions. Keenan Allen, the veteran, he's a free agent this offseason. Tevin Jenkins, a part of that offensive line. DRS, maybe solid in nature, and part of it is probably on the scheme and Caleb Williams trying to make hero ball plays as he did in college at both Oklahoma and USC. But the Bears in the regular season allowed the most sacks around the National Football League, 68. I would say that is priority number one for this offseason and the acquisitions the Bears need to make, bolstering the offensive line. So it looks like the great O-line they had under Ben Johnson in the Motor City with the Lions. Now, as we look at the cap space and the draft capital, it really, Donnie, will be sky-high expectations because the roster is the same as last year. But what is the biggest point of elevation this offseason in the Windy City? It's Ben Johnson. You and I called him the best hire of this coaching cycle. Joe Friso asked the questions, the big questions, right? We said, is Drake May becoming slightly overrated? A lot of offseason optimism, pro bowler technically because of some injuries. Has Ben Johnson in Chicago become overrated in the way that we view him taking over as a first-time head coach?
No, there's no overrating Ben Johnson right now because the results are already out there. Like, I'm worried about what Detroit is going to do next year without Ben Johnson as the coordinator, because as we started this show off saying, boy, the biggest move of the offseason, the best coaching hire was Ben Johnson, and specifically because he was taken away from Detroit, which hurts your opponent and helps yourself. This guy has an extensive playbook that can beat you in a multitude of ways, whether it's trick plays coming out or being ultra aggressive. That's what the Chicago Bears need. Now, granted, if he's going to have that same Dan Campbell attitude where it's 4th and 17 and we're not going to kick a field goal, where to go for it just because that's what we do, that'll be, you know, sort of seen and those fruits to bear once you play next year. But for me and my money, I absolutely love Ben Johnson in Chicago. No way. Matter of fact, how about this? Still underrated with how I think about Ben Johnson. How about that?
I would kind of agree, DRS. And again, the proof is in the pudding, right? 3 years as the offensive play caller in Detroit. Every season, and things weren't optimistic like they have been the past 2 years in Detroit in his first year as the true OC in 2022. Every year, the Lions were a top five scoring and top five yardage offense, total offense around the National Football League. Every single year, not even a dip to 8th or 9th and being top 10. Top five in both yards per game on average, points per game on average in the regular season. Could you say that Detroit's performance against Washington wasn't their best in the division round? Sure. Was the call to have Jameson Williams near midfield throw an end-around pass as your wide receiver when you were driving a pretty poor one? I would say, and I bet you Ben Johnson would probably agree, but the issue with the Lions and the inability to hit that ceiling of a first-ever Super Bowl appearance wasn't because of the offense, DRS. It was the defensive side of the football and not necessarily Aaron Glenn, who we'll discuss in just a moment. Just so many catastrophic injuries on that side. I don't think Ben Johnson is overrated. He's got a lot to prove now as a head coach in Chicago and the different responsibilities that has to undertake. But no, I think Ben Johnson is the guy of this cycle. And I think all of the optimism he built up in the last couple of coaching cycles will be realized with the Bears.
Yeah, you got to be excited if you're a Bears fan base. I mean, you went from Eberflus now to a massive upgrade on a team that you should have high expectations for. And we'll see how high those expectations get next year. But if I see the Bears 6-7 wins and the offense is struggling, that's a massive upset for me.
Yeah, it would be. And then you look at the ownership group, but we'll talk about that later. The New York Jets next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line. The big questions this offseason for all of the 7 NFL teams that had to make a head coaching decision and a hire in the 2025 offseason. We have talked about the Patriots, the Bears. Now it's time for the other Detroit coordinator who found a head coaching role this offseason. That would be Aaron Glenn back in New York. Played 8 seasons as a member of the Jets defense. Was the 12th overall pick by the Jets back in 1994. And of course, DRS, the last few years for New York have not been kind. The last 2 years highlighted by the disaster that was the Aaron Rodgers era, if you want to call it that. A 5-12 campaign for the Jets a season ago with a preseason win total of 9.5, expecting double-digit wins in a playoff berth. But instead, the Jets continue to do what they do, missing out on the postseason for a 14th straight year. 120-1 is the price on New York to win Super Bowl 60 this year. They have the 7th overall pick this upcoming April, 8 total picks, and only $21 million in terms of cap space. Of course, a new head coach in Aaron Glenn, a new GM in Darren Mooney, and a decision made by the Jets brass that Aaron Rodgers is not going to return at the quarterback spot. So, DRS, the big picture questions now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, what should the Jets do to answer that quarterback question?
That's the million-dollar question at this point here. Is it a bridge quarterback? Because the one thing I understand with the Jets, which I told you before that I loved, is, you know, I think Aaron Glenn was a solid hire. But I just wanted to see when he got in the building how some of those answers might change. Because if you remember the press conference when they introduced him, Woody somehow got in front of the reporters like, hey, heck yeah! yeah, if he comes back and they want Aaron Rodgers back, I would welcome him. I said, come on now, just stay out of this. But it shows that he's not looking for self-preservation with the Jets. He's saying, I want to build this my way. And if it fails, it fails at that point. Because it's very easy for a new coach to come in and say, all right, I think I can make something out of Aaron Rodgers. If it works, I'm a genius. If it doesn't, the organization goes, hey, what did you want to do? Glad you tried. You got another 2 to 3 more years with your own quarterback. I like that that foundation has been set right away, because if you see that graphic, the 2024 record for the Jets, 5-12. And Ben, this wasn't like, well, Aaron Rodgers went down again 3 plays into the season. We didn't have Breece Hall. Garrett Wilson, our best wide receiver, hamstring injury, out for 8 weeks. We traded for Davante Adams. He got injured immediately. The defense went down repeatedly. Sauce Gardner missed 17 games, all 17 games. That didn't happen. This team was so talented. And to finish with 5 wins, maybe the worst expectation of a result that you got last year was the Jets in the past 15 to 20 years in the NFL. So let's just say the talent stays somewhat the same outside of Aaron Rodgers. I expect them to win more than 5 games next year. I expect them to possibly challenge for a division. Because also, when he said, well, Don, you're crazy. If you do get a veteran quarterback in there that just is able to provide substance and not, you know, submarine your coaching staff by going over the heads of the coaches and the general manager to the owner, they're going to be better coached and they're going to be willing to play harder, obviously, under this new regime. So for me, 6 wins is a must for the Jets next year, and they might make a playoff run if, Ben, they do get a quality quarterback. I don't need a superstar. I just need competent quarterback play out of the Jets, and they should, no doubt about it, 7+ wins next year, which would put you in playoff position by the time you hit December.
So, DRS, that perfectly then leads into question number 2. It is the million-dollar question. What are the Jets going to do at the quarterback position? What do you think the Jets will do with that quarterback position? Give me a couple of names that you think might make some sense.
Like, it depends on what you're looking for the organization. Is it moving a lot of assets here to get your quarterback in the draft? That is a possibility. But that could really harm what you're looking to do in the next couple of years if you swing and miss with draft capital when you don't have a lot of actual money to spend in free agency. I'm looking for a bridge quarterback. And it might sound crazy. Like, well, Sam Darnold can't come back here. It's a different regime at this point. Like, Sam Darnold would be an upgrade over what Aaron Rodgers gave you last year. But if you're just looking on that type of surface, that's the way I'd be going. Like, you're not going to get like a Carson Wentz or like, hey, with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields strikes a different point. Like, no, you're not going that direction. You need a guy that's going to come in, not make waves, be a decent quarterback, understanding you're not the future of the Jets. You are the bridge. That's what I think they should be able to do.
I never thought Aaron Rodgers was the answer. Certainly did not expect that to be the case entering 2025 with Aaron Glenn and a new regime. But, Donnie, when you look at the roster right now, it's probably not Tyrod Taylor. It's probably not Jordan Travis. I don't know what exactly the answer is for the New York Jets. It's not like they have an heir apparent or are necessarily in a position to get that future face of the franchise in the NFL draft. They draft 7th. And this is not a robust and deep quarterback class.
Nope.
In fact, we might not see many guys go in the opening round, if at all. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the Jets to the Jags, as we continue our offseason outlook for all 7 teams that had to hire a new head coach early in this offseason. It is the offseason for everybody in football around the NFL. This was probably the most chaotic head coaching hire. We'll get to Dallas in a minute. That was dramatic, but I mean truly chaotic. A 48-hour span where Liam Cohen told the Jags, I'm good. I'm going to go back to Tampa as the offensive coordinator. Shad Khan's like, man, everybody is right. This Trent Baalke guy really does suck. Let me get rid of him. Fires the GM. Calls Liam Cohen. Goes, see what I did for you? Cohen's like, all right, I'll get out of Tampa in the shadows of night, and I'll come take an interview once again in Jacksonville. The Bucs are like, Liam, where you at? They can't get in touch with him, only for him to be named the Jacksonville Jaguars' new head coach. And there's always got to be one in the introductory press conference that says or does something stupid. Duval. That was Liam Cohen. But Donnie, in terms of the 39-year-old, former Buccaneers offensive coordinator, former Rams offensive coordinator, former OC at Kentucky for a couple of years in the last five mixed in between, on a meteoric rise, who back in 2017 was coaching at Maine at the FCS level, Liam Cohen, now a first-time head coach in the National Football League. So let's dive in to Jacksonville. 4-13 record a year ago. Again, falling well short of expectation. 8.5 was the win total for the Jags this season. Now we move forward to 2025. 75-1 to win Super Bowl 60. Fifth overall pick in the opening round. 10 total draft picks at their disposal in 2025 and about $32 million in cap space. So let's start with the biggest question for Jacksonville. The offensive mind that is Liam Cohen. Can he rejuvenate Trevor Lawrence's career?
I think so. And I really like this move, not only for Liam Cohen, but this was one of those spots where said, boy, Jacksonville's got some talent in a division that you can win next year. And then you look at last year's record and you say, just like the Jets, like, how is that possible with the amount of talent that you had? Well, sometimes things just don't work out and the coaches and the players just don't buy in and work on the same page, which now I think that if you are Trevor Lawrence, hey, man, I'm getting an offensive mindset coach here that let Baker Mayfield sling it around. And if you are Brian Thomas Jr., had a great year last year. I am so high on this kid. I think he's going to be phenomenal over the next 5 to 10 years. He's going like, this guy had Mike Evans cooking once again. Boy, as the number one, I'm going to get all those footballs. Ingram, a tight end, is a really viable guy. You take a look at Kirk in the slot when he's healthy and a running game that does have a lot of talent and a little bit of thunder and lightning back there. What's not to like about Jacksonville? Even on the defense, you got some talented linebackers, but also two very good edge rushers. The shell of the product in Jacksonville is ready for a winning program. And it's not as if we're saying, just like Chicago, like, hey, we like the move for Ben Johnson to go there. But boy, Minnesota's good. They got a good head coach and a good football team. The Packers are really good. Detroit's really good. That's just going to be tough here. Or same thing we talk about, like, who's going to want that job in Las Vegas with how good that division is? This is a division that you can win next year, and the expectations shouldn't be too high for them not to compete for that and get into a playoff spot. I like the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you saw a high draft pick, 10 total picks in the draft, money to spend with an owner that basically told this guy, you come here, you're going to get whatever you want. Whatever shiny toy you need, I'll pay for it here at this point. I love the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Ben.
So it is also very interesting, DRS, because technically the Jags have not hired their new general manager just yet, but you know Liam Cohen is going to have a part and a say in who gets that gig. But when you look at the structure of a franchise, ownership group, down to the front office, down to the head coach, down to the quarterback, probably the two most important positions, your head coach and quarterback in the National Football League. And we look at these situations as we evaluate the best vacancies, the most desirable and attractive landing spots. Chicago has Caleb Williams and a really talented roster, but they play in the NFC North, which we know is going to be a great division, it seems, year over year, at least for the next 5-7 years. You can make some moves in that division, no doubt, with some changing parts season over season, but still a very difficult gauntlet, it would seem, in that division. The AFC South ain't that. The AFC South feels very, very open to have some success right away. Could you make an argument that Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence is the most desirable spot? Now, maybe you're questioning Trevor Lawrence, who for the entirety of his NFL, college football, and high school career was about as available and healthy as you will find for any football player. Was not the case in the dismal home stretch of 2023. Certainly not the case here in 2024. But I do really believe Liam Cohen is a great offensive mind in a great pairing with Trevor Lawrence, which leads, Donnie, to this conversation even further. 2A, if you will. If Liam Cohen can rejuvenate Lawrence's career as we expect, can the Jags contend for a divisional crown in the AFC South right away?
Absolutely. You take a look at Indy. Who's their quarterback? They're not sure who that is. You take a look at Tennessee in a complete rebuild mode, it feels like right now. And then you take a look at Houston, who's a very good team. You expect them to be the top dogs entering into the season. but it won't be a massive upset, maybe a mild upset if Jacksonville can overtake them, because I think the talent discrepancy is not really that big between both of these franchises. And all you need is a healthy position at quarterback with Trevor Lawrence, with a good offensive play caller, which he has now, to sort of take that team next. And also, Brian Thomas Jr. was a rookie last year. He's going to have a whole offseason to go through and get even better, bigger, stronger, and faster entering into the next season. And you talk about the salary cap. Add another wide receiver on top of it. Add another defensive player, maybe a top-level cornerback, or somebody that's going to help in that secondary. Why not? That's not a massive upset. I expect them to compete for the division championship next year.
Yeah, I do as well. And I wonder what that price is. There's no doubt the Texans are going to be booked as a favorite. Is it plus 125? Is it minus 150 for a Texans team that has now won the AFC South two consecutive seasons? But I think the hope in Duval County, DRS, for the partnership of Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence is 2022. Lawrence's second year in the league that led to that divisional comeback, and of course the large postseason comeback over the LA Chargers. If he is healthy, I still believe in Trevor Lawrence. Let's play glass half full just quickly here, Dominic. We both believe Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence are going to have some success and maybe can make some headway within the AFC South. Let's say it doesn't work out. Lawrence, maybe not quite what we thought. Liam Cohen, maybe not great in his first time NFL head coaching gig. Is the clock then ticking more on Cohen's job as the head coach or Trevor Lawrence, despite the contract extension he signed this previous offseason?
Oh, it's Cohen. It's by far. Like, you might say if Trevor Lawrence was 34 years old, yeah, the clock is ticking where he doesn't have much time left. He's 25 years old with a massive contract at a position in sports where if you can just have a heartbeat, you're going to stick around for a long time. No, the clock is on Cohen right now to get this offense right. And if he doesn't, he'll be shipped out of town. And another guy will try to come in with Trevor Lawrence to try to do some damage.
25 years old. That's it for Trevor Lawrence. He has completed 4 years in his National Football League career. There has been some very high highs, in some very low lows, in some inconsistency mixed in between. Donnie, again, he's really only had one great year, 2022, his second. We're just getting Urban Meyer out of Jacksonville. Felt like a big win for Lawrence's future in the National Football League. And it was with Doug Peterson. But 2023, he was banged up down the home stretch. Last year, the most injured we have seen Trevor Lawrence in his football playing days. I would agree with you with the investment in the five-year, $55 million deal that Trevor Lawrence signed this previous offseason, or at least $55 million a year if it's 4 or 5 years. Lawrence is going to be around in Jacksonville more than Liam Cohen, but I do think they go kind of hand in hand, because if it's not the bright offensive mind of Cohen that can unlock the success of Trevor Lawrence as Cohen did in Tampa with Baker Mayfield, then you're kind of scratching your head.
No, you are. So, I mean, the expectations for Lawrence coming out of high school were tremendous at Clemson. Surpassed those expectations, and then heading into the pros, that generational talent that you would tank for here. There's still a lot left in the tank for Trevor Lawrence, and I expect Liam Cohen to unlock some of that greatness right away.
As do I. Keep an eye on that Jacksonville win total when it comes out this offseason. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We go through each and every spot. All seven NFL teams that hired a head coach in this coaching carousel in the 2025 National Football League offseason. We started in New England, then to Chicago, then to New York, most recently in Duval County in Jacksonville, and now we head out to Sin City and Las Vegas. Surprising that the Raiders took this turn, but of course not a surprising name, one that is very familiar around the National Football League. The 73-year-old Pete Carroll, now the new head coach in Las Vegas. The Raiders last year with Antonio Pierce as the permanent head coach for the entirety of the season, just 4-13, winning a couple of games down the stretch, DRS, booked as an ever so slight favorite that probably cost the Raiders a number one overall pick or at least a top three selection. 190-1. For Vegas to win Super Bowl 60 in San Francisco. That is the longest price of any of these teams that we have discussed in terms of their Super Bowl outlook in the 7 head coaching vacancies this offseason. Because of those wins down the stretch, the Raiders draft 6th. Not exactly the perfect situation to go after a quarterback. They have 8 total picks in the 2025 NFL draft, but a ton of cap space at $92 million. Big picture question number one. Mm-hmm. For Pete Carroll, now in place, John Spytek, that new GM in Las Vegas, college buddies with the new minority owner of the Raiders, Tom Brady, what are they going to do at the quarterback position? So number one, DRS, should they trade up in the NFL draft to go after the big names of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward?
If there's one team that probably should use draft capital for the future, move up and get a quarterback, it would be the Raiders, because they don't have a quarterback. And quite frankly, they have one player on defense. It's Max Crosby. The rest of the team can't get, if you fight their way out of a paper bag. The offense does have some decent pieces. Myers was a quality wide receiver. Bauer is one of the best young tight ends you might see, maybe a future Hall of Famer. That's something positive. The quarterback position, not great. The offensive line, okay. And nothing really at the running back position to speak on, which is why we came to this offseason where it's like, okay, they're going to hire Pete Carroll. Where I said to myself, they're not winning anything, the Raiders, next 1 or 2 years. There's no doubt in my mind. But Pete Carroll has been around winning franchises, was part of winning franchises, both in college and also in the pros. He's the perfect steward to sort of get this ship back going in the right direction and then hand it right off to another coach who has it in a better spot than Pete Carroll actually found it at. That's how we'll start here. But expectations for the Raiders, extremely low. The only thing you're looking for now, Ben, for this organization is who is that quarterback to take us over the next 10 to 15 years that we feel can be a franchise guy. If you think it is Cam Ward and that first pick is on sale and you want to spend it, go ahead and get that. If you think it's Shedeur Sanders and you can get him maybe at that 3 or 4 spot and you got to trade up from 6, go ahead and do that at this point. But for me, the Raiders season, probably the worst job in football for me, because the expectations you have going up against the other teams in that division, and you look at your own cupboard and say, boy, it's pretty bare. Pete Carroll's got a tough hill to climb, but he understands what that challenge is. It's not Super Bowl. It's not playoffs. It's just respectability before I hand it off to the next coach.
190-1. Again, that's Super Bowl 60 price for Las Vegas. It is the third longest available right now on our lovely sponsor, the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Titans, 200-1. The Giants, the longest price of everybody around the NFL, 210-1. The Raiders need to answer the quarterback question first and foremost, but there are many different spots up and down this roster to figure out. Donnie, you have mentioned that Pete Carroll, the wily veteran at 73 years old, can kind of be what he was perhaps in college, a program builder or a program stabilizer. Often, though, in the NFL, when you go from one head coaching regime to the next, it's not exactly a carryover of the same principles or culture. Oftentimes, you try to absolutely recreate what did not have success before. So I wonder how the Raiders are going to evaluate that piece now moving forward. We are not expecting a high win total, of course, for Las Vegas. 6th overall pick. Donnie, there might be 2 quarterbacks taken in the opening round, maybe a 3rd if you want to throw in Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe. I'm interested to see what the quarterback number is for first round selections, over under 2.5. And you would think, at least based right now with the Titans drafting first and the Browns second, that if you want a quarterback, those are the prime teams to do so. Again, not easy for the Raiders. So could they go to the offseason markets? Free agency like Sam Darnold, maybe a trade or a pickup of Kirk Cousins. Or perhaps, Donnie, our second big question for the Raiders, should the Raiders consider trading for or acquiring somehow, some way, Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely not. 1,000% no on that answer. Here's the reason why. Like, sometimes you have to change your philosophy in the NFL. Like, do the Raiders just want to get back to respectability? Sure they do. But you want to build along in the process. If you go out and get Aaron Rodgers to win an extra couple games, which you will not make the playoffs or even come close to it, what was the point of your season, Ben, right? How do you sell your fan base saying, you know what? Pete Carroll's in town. Chip Kelly's here. We spent money on our coaching staff. We're going to be competent. We just don't have the talent now. And then just to slow down the process. process, because the Raiders this year, if they win three games and get the number one pick, and let's just say Arch Manning comes out and we expect him to be everything that he was in college, had a great season, wins the Heisman Trophy. Isn't that a perfect season for the Raiders? Getting demolished, but understanding what the future actually holds and digging out from all these bad contracts that you might have or the least talented players. Like, that's my goal for the Raiders this year. So from a quarterback position, I don't want to see a bridge quarterback, because that means we, instead of winning three games, we win six and accomplish nothing. That's not the goal here. The goal is to build that foundation for the future, which means a bad football team this year, but playing good football in a way of saying, you know what, everybody's sound with their techniques, and we're not playing embarrassing football out here where we're just going to beat 35-3. We're competitive, but the goal is not to win. The goal is to get your quarterback in the future, and that means winning three or four games this year as opposed to six or seven. Just lose, baby. That's the goal for the Raiders this year. That's it.
Max Crosby has kind of been the name, the face, the staple of the franchise the last three, 4 years, signed an extension a few years back. But as he shared walking around Radio Row in New Orleans, he wants to win. He just wants to win, baby. He does not want to lose. An uneasy offseason ahead for Spytek and Pete Carroll. Let's talk the Cowboys next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on the Early Line, rounding out hour number two with a conversation about the offseason outlook for all seven NFL teams that had to hire a new head coach this offseason. We're going to continue it into hour number three by hearing from you about the most recent hire made official yesterday, the New Orleans Saints tabbing Kellen Moore, the new head coach in the Big Easy. But Donnie, I also think this conversation probably carries over into our third and final hour as well, because now we talk about them boys in Dallas. And we start with this from a story on ESPN yesterday with Cowboys reporter Todd Archer speaking with Dak Prescott. In this small little quote, Dak Prescott said he believes Dallas is, quote, very close to its own championship. Of course, that is the bugaboo, the crux of what Dallas has been dealing with for the last three decades. The Cowboys in 2024, 7-10 in the final year under Mike McCarthy. 55-1, the price for Dallas to win Super Bowl 60. I have said it often. I would not take Donnie's, Frizo's, Matt's, Jesse's, anybody's, my worst enemy's money, and bet that on the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl. They have the 12th overall pick in the opening round. Only six total selections, a couple of comp picks perhaps, and they are in the red. Minus $3 million of cap space this offseason. So I mentioned that quote from Dak. And Donnie, it's interesting for a 7-10 football team that also fell well short of expectation, expected to be a double-digit win team in 2024. The success level for a first-time head coach of Brian Schottenheimer is not, hey, pal, get to 6-7, maybe 8 wins. Dallas will always, even if they do always in the last 30 years fall short of a championship, will be judged by getting to the NFC Championship, by hoisting yet another Lombardi Trophy. It is what Jerry Jones has built his organization into being. So big question number one, DRS, for the Cowboys entering this offseason in 2025. How far are the Cowboys from actually, quote, contending?
They're pretty far from contending for a Super Bowl, but they're not far off from making the playoffs, which they will make next year. Oh, no, look at that. Donnie likes the Eagles. How can he talk about the Cowboys? The Cowboys have a quality team overall. If Dak Prescott's healthy for the entire season, like you bank on for most starting quarterbacks, they'll make the playoffs. Why? Just go back the past 5 to 6 years under Dak Prescott. They win double-digit games. That's what the Cowboys do. Do I expect them to make an NFC Championship game? Probably not. I don't know if they're that talented, but they're talented enough to make the playoffs. You're trying to tell me with a team last year that won seven games with all the injuries they had, particularly at the quarterback position, you know what they're going to do in the offseason? Yes, Dak's going to get healthy. They're actually going to be proactive and find a real running back that will help them on the outside. They'll get some help for CeeDee Lamb. They're going to get another tight end that might be able to be impactful as opposed to just relying on Ferguson when they lost Schultz, who was impactful for that team, then goes over to Houston. They'll rebuild that offensive line. This team is too talented to win 7 games, which means they're going to get closer to 10 wins than not. The Dallas Cowboys in 2025, they're making the playoffs. Book that.
I would agree, Donnie. When you look at last year, 7-10, even with Dak Prescott, it wasn't great. But of course, when he gets ousted for the season, very little hope to be a playoff team in the NFC. The Cowboys in the three previous years had won exactly 12 games and two of three NFC East divisional crowns. And bad news for the Birds, despite being the reigning Super Bowl champs, we have not seen a repeat divisional winner in the NFC East since 2004. Now 20 years ago. And the Eagles, of course, the champions of the division this past season. How far are they from contending? Of course, that is the age-old question in Dallas. I give them, like you, Donnie, the benefit of the doubt. Probably going to be a winning team this year. Probably going to flirt with the postseason. Heck, more than likely going to be a playoff team. That is all what they already have on the roster, and you would hope some additions. But you said all of the acquisitions and pluses they are going to make this offseason.
Yeah.
Are they? Will they?
Yes.
Do they? Jerry Jones is still the guy making those decisions. And Donnie, as we saw, with what seemed as crystal clear that needed to happen this offseason for Dallas to have success, he took forever to sign and extend CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and did not add a running back. So do I trust them to make those moves this time around?
I don't know if you trust. I think they're going to be forced into that. They understand the mistakes they made. You see all the free agent running backs that made impacts last year? And then to find out, like, Derrick Henry was like, I'll play for free to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, nah, we got already guys ready to go here. We don't need to at this point. They'll make that correction, I believe.
Hour 3, next.